Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
They got Biden out of there screaming about democracy. They're knocking away the votes of, what was it, 24 million Democrat voters who also probably don't care. They always don't care about any of that stuff. They just want to win. That's what it's all about. So my prediction is this, and I'll say it every day, and we'll see if, Dan, take your temperature here. What's going to happen is, and we can pick maybe to the convention, and there'll be a little convention bounce, maybe even before the convention. She's going to wear out her welcome. In other words, on paper, first black woman, don't ask how that's possible here. The whole debate, is she biracial? Of course. First South Asian woman. The history, the electricity, that will start to go away as we see her in operation again. And we have a lot to play today. Probably the all-time was with Lester Holt when he unmasked her as the borders are. That's the other thing that will come up. Here's the only problem for Trump. With Biden, you wake up every day and you know exactly what you were going to go after. And you know, if you're a hardened political pundit of any sort or campaign, you believe it's over 99.99% that Biden can't come back from what we've seen in the debate. Harris is more of an unknown quantity, as much as we have a large track record as vice president. She probably has a better shot than Biden, even though she'll probably end up doing as bad, or I would say worse, in the final analysis. Why a better shot? Because with Biden, there's certitude there. You know what's going to happen. You know you can't come out of that. With Harris, every indication that I can see indicates she is who she is. We've already seen this. There's a reason why she dropped out of the initial primary. She wasn't getting any traction. She can't get any traction. She's going to make it to the presidency, is the idea, without ever having a vote cast for her in the primary. That's an amazing thing. It's just all an anti-Trump vote. That's what it's about. That's what they want. Now, does Biden's endorsement help her? I think it might be beneficial to Trump in several different ways, and we'll play that out through the show about, does that really help to get Biden's endorsement? But Obama was smart in this, Pelosi, Schumer, Jeffries, sort of dancing a little bit that maybe we'll see some kind of preliminary. Now, I don't see anybody running against her publicly. In the Democrat Party, identity politics, you pretty much can't do that. And among the most interesting questions, now you're not going to hear this at the Inquirer. They danced around it. But Dan and I have been talking about it. And every time his name comes up, Dan is more prominent on that, and it's going to come up a lot, Dan, and that's Josh Shapiro.
Yep.
The reason is, when is Netanyahu speaking to Congress? Is it on the 26th? I have my dates mixed up, or is it next week? Benjamin Netanyahu is coming soon to the United States to address Congress at the behest of Mike Johnson, the Speaker. An ample number of Democrats are going to walk out. Some of them are just anti-Israel, Israel haters. Some of them are just stone-cold anti-Semites on top of it. And their constituency is, too. And so is a large segment of their party. So every time we talk about it, Josh Shapiro, to me, is the natural. They keep on talking about Mark Kelly, the former astronaut, because of Arizona, and because, I'm not sure what else, he's seen as a moderate. But Arizona is not going to get you home. You need Pennsylvania. 2 p.m. Wednesday for Benjamin Netanyahu. Oh, couldn't come at a better time.
That's 2 p.m. local time?
He's here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's not from Israel. He's going to be speaking before Congress. Aha.
But this is from the Israel Times that I got this.
Okay.
So is it 2 p.m. in Israel or 2 p.m. here? I'll figure that out and I'll let you know here in a second.
Yeah, but it's on this Wednesday is the point. It might be at night here. It's this Wednesday, and it will be very interesting to see if Harris attends, what she says about it. That she's rabidly anti-Israel. Now, this does help with their base a bit.
2 p.m. Eastern.
2 p.m. Eastern. Okay, what a time to come. Here is John King on CNN. He could have been, Dan could have tagged in for him here, talking yesterday, I think it was, with Wolf Blitzer about, well, what about Josh Shapiro? Doesn't that seem like the natural? Shapiro's the governor. They said moderate. We'll get into that again. You know the chameleon this guy is. He's not a moderate in any way, shape, or form. Why not tag him in and you get Pennsylvania? Listen to John King.
Pennsylvania's Governor Josh Shapiro is being discussed as one of Harris's potential running mates. He also endorsed her tonight. In your view, what are the pros and cons for putting him on the ticket?
Well, he's certainly under consideration. I know that from key Harris allies. He's a first-term governor. He's Jewish. There could be some risks in putting him on the ticket, but certainly some of our voters here in Pennsylvania said, hey, we like Governor Shapiro. Give him a look. Also told O. Anderson that some other governors, Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona, are on the list of the Harris team. One Harris ally told me today they hope to get her within a few days, assuming her path to the nomination continues to look good, and it does tonight, but we still have some question marks. They hope to get her a list, they say within several days to a week, of four or five names for her to pick from.
All right, there we go. So why would it be a problem with the Democrat Party that is so diverse? Dan, I'll throw you a short lob shot there that you can hit back. How many times have we talked about this?
Yeah, tons of times. And I said this early on that when we were talking about whether or not Biden would end up stepping aside, if Shapiro would be involved in this. And when we first having these discussions, it was right around the time or just soon after the time that UPenn was flipping. Well, it wasn't flipping cards, right. But there was chaos over at UPenn and throughout college campuses. And you had kids, hyper-progressives, spewing anti-Semitic bullcrap and pro-Hamas crap. And so you have a Jewish guy here, Josh Shapiro, and you're going to try to run him and try to appeal to a hyper-progressive sect of the party that is allegedly very loud because seems like Kamala tries to bow down to them pretty often. So the same sect of the party that Kamala is trying to appeal to, you're going to enter in a VP who they're not going to be able to vote for in their moral obligations. It's not going to work. And I look at someone like Shapiro, Don, we'll get into this at some point in the show, with 2028 on the horizon, you think, if your time's here, you run. But if you know you're going to get blown out in 2024 and you want a political future as a presidential candidate, do you hold off and not run with Kamala?
No,
and I think
that might be going through
Josh's mind.
How many years have we been working together so much? You run. You got to run. Dan, who knows what will happen by 2028? If he runs, he will do reasonably well. They could lose. They could get killed. It'll be on her. He'll look good alongside her. And what happens then is he's got a leg up in 2028. That's the way I see it. If he doesn't run, A, turning down the party in this, wow, and B, you never know what's going to happen. Governor Christie's the best example. He was the guy in 2012. I think he could have beaten Mitt Romney then. Didn't run, Bridgegate and everything else. Look at where he is now.
Yeah, but I think Christie was offered the VP.
No.
If he was offered Trump's VP, he would jump at the opportunity because he knew that Trump was a winning train to, hitch his
right. trail. But, he didn't run in 2012 on his own.
Yeah,
and here's what happened.
Yep.
He couldn't anticipate Donald Trump comes out and is unbeatable.
I see, yeah.
In 2012, I never would have guessed Donald Trump would have... Somebody called me with that, and I laughed at it. Boy, was I wrong. I was at Joey Vento's Geno Steaks, and I went, are you kidding me? This was around 2012. He said Donald Trump would be a natural.
All right.
Come on, Dan. Who would have predicted that? So
you don't think, though, a lot of Democrats are looking at what we see here with the political landscape
right.
and want to ride in on their horse like the next Democratic Donald Trump, and Josh Shapiro doesn't want to be that Democratic Donald Trump that rides in out of nowhere in 2028 with no prior obligations to the prior administration? And is that person?
No, I think if you turn them down, boy, that's bad. They need you in this time. If they come to you with that, not only that. He is very precise and all that, but he loves the national spotlight, Dan. My prediction is he'll take it if offered it to him. And then I have a worry because winning Pennsylvania with him as VP is going to be much more difficult. Let's face it. I want to win Pennsylvania. At 1 o'clock, the guy who's helping us win it, Scott Presler here, Is Bucks County finally going to be red, and how should we celebrate that? Bill O'Reilly here at 12:30. I think he probably has spoken with Trump. Now, why is the, and I'll lay this out a little bit more for you coming up, why is the Secret Service stuff something that I'm going to dwell on and stay on? Because despite all the Kamala talk and all that stuff, it's already underway. They're trying to diminish. They may take out, you know, this head of Secret Service got to go. Even the FBI, I noticed today watching the hearings, they were quoting the FBI even as aghast at what she did in their secret meetings, in their intelligence meetings. Man, the FBI. The point is, though, in the long run, they're immaterial. What they want to do is they want to deflect away from the fact that President Trump was shot and almost lost his life. And over the weekend, President Trump at the rally, Dan, made a great point in addition to his hairdo, which I will play.
Fantastic.
Yeah, the comb over. Look, I'm in favor of anything a guy has to do, Dan, to have hair. I'm in favor of it. Do it. You might be on the other side. You don't like the comb over, I can tell.
I think you should just shave it. You'd probably look better shaved.
I've witnessed it standing up at the Resolute desk with Trump there for the picture in the Oval Office, right? It's a bunch of viaducts in there, Dan. You got to get the over-the-head shot to imagine what he must go through every day.
It's impressive. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, it is.
Like, he should go with the Mike Ehrman trowel look, like a, you know, get a goatee, shave the head.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right, here is cut 5A,
beard.
Here's what Trump said about this diminishing, and he's going to take away democracy. And I think this is a great narrative to keep on moving forward. This is Trump at the Grand Rapids rally.
And you know, the other side's going around trying to make me sound extreme, like I'm an extremist. I'm not. I'm a person with great common sense. I'm not an extremist at all. But what they do is misinformation and disinformation, and they keep saying, he's a threat to democracy. I'm saying, what the hell did I do for democracy? Last week, I took a bullet for democracy. What did I do against democracy? Crazy.
There you go. That's what my worryment is. All this giddiness, all the taking oxygen out of. Now, I'm not saying Biden intentionally dropped out yesterday to deflect from the Secret Service hearings. But you got to remember, it's not so much about, yes, I get it, for the country, for the safety of people. We get all that. But the bigger, broader thing that this is about is not letting them get away with a one-week news dump about Trump being shot. And then we move on to how heroic Kamala Harris is. That's what has to be prevented here. The one thing they're trying to do, though, is crowd out the news cycle. First, historic black woman, etc. and all. We have a guy that was shot by a miracle of God, by a quarter of an inch survives. Only the ear. They're worried about the ear. Can he continue? You know, my God. So, yeah, we'll play that cut next. I saw that with Jim Jordan. I thought he was going to come over the top rope. He was rolling up his sleeves.
Are they rolled up?
Yeah, they were starting to. You know, maybe one of these times when it's really going to be fierce, he'll come out in a T-shirt or something, Dan. 855.
That's what we should judge, you know, the crisis level of these congressional hearings.
Yes.
How high did Jim Jordan roll his sleeves for this one?
Oh, God. When Netanyahu gets here, though, Kamala Harris, I can just imagine the. By the way, she's being praised by calling all these congressional leaders, and she still had the ability, because she had friends and advisors there, to order pizza for them. And they said she provided a meal. She ordered pizza. I mean, come on.
All right, we're about a half an inch below the elbows. They are rolled up.
Okay.
But the tie is still all the way, you know, tight.
Okay.
He hasn't loosened the tie yet.
Can you imagine being that guy's haberdasher? He doesn't seem to like clothes too much. All right, 855-839. One serious thing, so I don't forget this thread and we talk about it. Comer introduced and says he has evidence, and I think he's presenting it today, where the FBI Secret Service snipers were taking photos of the guy on the roof, he alleges, an hour before they shot Trump. And you know what's coming up, Dan, as we predicted. What's coming up here is this. With all this going on, how bad are these people that they still would let Trump take the stage? I mean, it's unforgivable that the guy was there or got there. But also, when this is in the air, isn't there a protocol to delay and do another check to say, danger, Will Robinson, danger. He can't go out and speak yet. Things are delayed all the time. They always delay. What would another 10 minutes have been?
Can I get a temperature check on you?
Yes.
Is it an inside job yet?
No. I maintain, and I second to none, I see idiocy first. These people are not smart. Here's my argument to you, Dan. They're not smart enough to conspire. They're too screwed up to even conspire if they wanted to. Now, did they want to diss Trump, not put enough people there, do all that type of stuff? Yeah, that's becoming clear. I don't see any smoking gun yet, but I'm open to it. You don't think they're idiot? You think they're not idiotic?
If they didn't give Trump the detail that he was requested, what was the purpose behind it, if not some kind of nefarious reason?
They are relatively stretched thin. And even RFK Jr. today, to answer your question, said on Fox and Friends, when he spoke outdoors in Independence Hall, there were too many buildings. They couldn't cover them all. They paid security guards $18 an hour to sit on a beach chair on those roofs.
Hey.
Yeah. So, we'll see. We'll see. I'm not saying I haven't seen anybody bring up conspiracy yet in any way, shape, or form. They just are getting to the bottom of, though. Well, we need an answer to that question. I'm open to that. Why would you still let...
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
And go on. The stuff the Democrats are doing, attacking the rifle, Eleanor Holmes, who has... no sense of where she is, even from D.C. She's sort of a representative. Continuing to ask her, are we safer in D.C. if we don't have open carry laws? Stuff like that. This is what they do. They are completely, they're not even trying to protect the Secret Service director. They're just doing any old thing today. So here's Jim Jordan confronting her on several parts about lying and what is the truth.
Those statements don't jive.
So what I can tell you is that for the event in Butler, there were no requests that were denied. As far as requests...
Well, maybe they got tired of asking. Maybe you turned them down so darn much they said, not worth asking. How many times did you turn them down ahead of that?
I think that it is important to distinguish between what some people may view as a denial of an asset or a request.
Well, is Mr. Guglielmi your spokesperson? He said he acknowledged the Secret Service had turned down some requests. I'm asking how many?
A denial of a request does not equal a vulnerability.
Well, tell me what it is.
There are a number of ways that threats and risks can be mitigated with a number of different assets, whether that be through personnel, whether that be through technology, or other resources.
Well, tell the committee which it was. They asked for additional help in some form or another. You told them no. How many times did you tell them no, and what did you tell them no to?
Again, I cannot speak to specific incidents, but I can tell you in general terms, the Secret Service is judicious with their resources based on...
What does some request mean? How many times? Some indicate requests is plural. So more than once they asked for additional help and you turned them down. What did they ask for and how many times did you turn them down? Pretty basic questions.
So again, without having all of the details in front of me, sir, what I can tell you is that there are times...
You didn't get briefed on how many times you turned down the Trump detail when they asked for additional help?
I'm sorry.
You didn't get briefed on that before you came to this hearing knowing you were going to get asked that question?
What I can tell you is that in generic terms, when details make a request... There are times that there are alternate ways to cover off on that threat or that risk.
But that's not what he said. He said they were denied certain requests, requests. This is your spokesperson, not me talking. This is the Secret Service talking. And what a change from absolutely false, unequivocally false to, oh, by the way, there were some times where we didn't give them what they wanted. That's a huge change in 5 days. And the fact that you can't answer how many times you did that, that's pretty darn frustrating, not just for me, but for the country.
All right, there you go. Now, a couple of things on that. Sean Parnell, who was there not too far from the president, he'll be on the show again tomorrow, said that they could have blocked that, any building like that. There was ample stuff there. You block the line of sight, construction equipment, whatever, of any potential shooter. They didn't do it. And I'm not sure, we're on the air during some of this, if they've gotten into detail, why were you not flying drones around to help, as she's talking about, there are other ways of doing this. And then, where did he hide the gun? I don't think we know that yet, but it appears to be he didn't go to the car and get it, that he hid it, and he was probably there in advance, which is another no-no. Usually they have it sealed off, or pretty much sealed off, where you're not getting in there for obvious reasons. Okay? All right, coming up, Bill O'Reilly's new book about the presidents is written extensively about Reagan being shot, about Teddy Roosevelt being shot, and I know he talks with President Trump, so we asked him about that, Secret Service, and a bunch of other things. Today, National Pennsylvania Day, just hit us with someone or something coming out of Pennsylvania. Dom Giordano show here on Talk Radio 1210. Confronting the president's no-spin assessments from Washington to Biden, September 10th it's out. I have fully completed it, gone back and started to reread it. And there are various aspects that are just kind of ripped from the headlines today, without a doubt. It's one of his best. Let's go to the one and only Bill O'Reilly. Hey, Bill, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to be here in Philadelphia, Dom. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, before we get to Harris, Biden resigning, I want to give full play to your book and remind people, I like what you wrote about Teddy Roosevelt. Now, I know your writing is to keep the reader moving. I could have gone for even a couple more pages on the shooting of Roosevelt, but I remember when you did the Reagan book, that's the one that caused the stir, because you talked about how Reagan was changed, I guess, physically and mentally. And when you look at President Trump, people observe that he's a bit more subdued, maybe. What's your take?
Well, the Reagan shooting was much more intense because of the operations that had to be performed to save his life. And the damage to his body was far more extensive than President Trump's wound to his ear. So that's number one. And Ronald Reagan survived it in style, but the aftercare was very difficult for him. And each person is different. Now, Trump, I think psychologically, was thrown by this unexpected catastrophe. But I can't really say what the cause and effect is at this point. I don't see a big difference in his demeanor. Some of the political strategies are a little bit different. But I think he made a mistake coming out after Biden quit the race and lambasting Biden. I would not have done that. So it's undefined right now to me how the shooting has affected Donald Trump in an overall capacity.
The danger here now, too, with the breaking news for Trump, just looking at this politically, Bill, and looking at the Secret Service testimony today, is that the giddiness and the media and the people jumping in with Kamala Harris, who's only a better option because Biden just can't come back from anything, in my view, will start to deflect and move us away from what really gave Trump a tremendous bump at the convention, the way the iconic photo and the way he was shot. Do you think the good feelings toward Trump linger, or is the media already underway to try to diminish that?
I think that the attempted assassination won't have much of an effect in November. And people's memories are short. Donald Trump seems to be robust. So just like Teddy Roosevelt, who escaped because he had a copy of his speech in a glass case beneath his coat and the bully couldn't get through it fully, that didn't have much of an effect in the election, which Teddy lost because he was running as a third-party candidate. So I think the same thing will play out in November. It'll be a distant memory. Unless Donald Trump takes a different tact in the way he campaigns, which I don't see him doing.
Have you talked with him, Bill, since the shooting?
Yeah, I talked to him briefly about it, but it was more of a condolence thing.
Mm-hmm.
How's your family doing? It wasn't policy.
Yeah, and again, of all things, to be turning a bit to show the slide on illegal immigration is hard to believe. Let's talk about Kamala Harris. I know you probably have never interviewed her, given that would be not so good on her side. But we have someone who's been outvoted in primaries by Dean Phillips, the mystic woman, and uncommitted, and yet stands right now, potentially, as the nominee and then president.
I don't think she'll win. Trump would have to give it to her, which is possible, but I don't think she'll win. The strategy of the Democrats is very simple. There's not going to be an open primary at the convention. There's not going to be any of that. Anyone who challenges Kamala Harris is through in the Democratic Party, and that message has already gone out. So she's not going to have anybody going up against her. The whole key to that was when George and Alex Soros, just minutes after Biden endorsed Kamala, came out and said, yeah, she's the greatest. Once that signal was sent by the progressive money men, everybody in the Democratic Party said, we better not say anything about Kamala not being competent, which she's not. I mean, she didn't have one piece of legislation passed in the Senate in 4 years. Zero. Cipher. Now, the strategy is to keep her away from everybody. It's the same strategy they employed with Joe Biden. Exactly the same. Not going to see Ms. Harris go up against any tough interviewers at all. She'll do some local stuff, friendly stuff. She'll be around. She'll campaign. She'll say the same thing she always says. Trump is a Nazi. She'll take his comments out of context. She'll say that they committed, Biden administration is responsible for a trillion jobs. You know, that kind of propaganda.
Yeah.
This is going to be propaganda after propaganda after propaganda, constant, unrelenting, because she knows that the corporate media will not call her on it. So she can say whatever she wants to say, and she will. So you're not going to get a traditional campaign. Her problem is the September 10th debate with Trump. Now, Kamala Harris isn't going to fold like Biden did, but if Trump is disciplined, and that's a big if.
Yeah, exactly.
And just goes in on policy, I don't see how Kamala Harris gets out of that. But he's got to bring in facts. He's got to keep it short, because the moderators at ABC will be absolutely pro-Kamala Harris. There's no doubt about it. But Trump's got to do what he did with Biden and just look and say, hey, this is the reality. This is what happened. And then Kamala Harris is the deficit of lying about Biden's medical condition, which he did over and over and over. And, you know, our reporting this week on the No Spin News on BillO'Reilly.com is we're going to analyze Kamala Harris from every way you can imagine. So that the American people, those who really want the truth, will know it.
Exactly. Now, Bill, right in her opening statement, monumental statement, you're coming out finally, it's your shot. What do they go to? And all the developments that have happened, if you had told me Project 2025, they would constantly be leading with, that's in her opening statement, we're going to stop Trump and Project 2025. What do you think, what have you analyzed is driving that other than, you know, scary stuff, and they don't have anything else?
Well, look, that's not going to work. Nobody knows what Project 2025 is. Fewer care about it. Trump has said, I don't endorse it. They can do that all day long. It's a waste of time. They'll get back to the Nazi stuff soon. That's what you're going to see. He's a totalitarian. He's going to, you know, the Constitution is going to go down a drain. That's where they'll go. 2025, they're just open around for something new. You know, how many times you said the MAGA movement, all of that. But if you look at Kamala Harris objectively, and it's my job to do that, and you step back from what her career is, which is mediocre at best, she is way further left than Joe Biden. I mean, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren could not be happier about this. She is in a zone that no American presidential candidate has ever been in. And I include Eugene Debs in that analysis, Dom.
Okay, look that up in your book, Eugene Debs.
Right.
I don't know. But, wow, Eugene Debs from O'Reilly. So, Bill, I wish you had that line with John Stewart. It was a great back and forth with him. Take us inside the most recent voyage on John Stewart's show.
Well, it came out of nowhere. Stewart didn't go to the Republican convention because they felt the people that run his show, Paramount, that's CBS, that there might be trouble there. And it was a wise decision. So the Stewart people apparently said, well, we got to get some attention. Who's the only person in the world that can do that? And that's me. Okay? Because Stewart and I have a long history. So they call me up, and I'm out in Montauk, and they go, you got to go to New York City, which is the last thing I wanted to do on Earth in the third week in July, is to go into Gotham to sit there with Jon Stewart. But I knew it would be worth it. So we went into the Daily Show. We did the 15 minutes. Everybody saw it. Millions and millions of people saw it. And I thought it went pretty well. And then we did an hour podcast, which is on BillO'Reilly.com. If you haven't seen it, it is well worth watching. It's a little bit more serious than the Daily Show and its issues. But you will notice in the podcast that Stewart is 100% behind Biden. It's Biden's great, Biden's great, Biden's great. And I'm going, what are you talking about? Okay, and that's a lot of the podcast back and forth. I haven't gotten a you were right, O'Reilly, missing from John Stewart, but I haven't got one from Chris Cuomo or anybody else that I told for months and months and months that Biden wasn't going to be on the ticket as the first national commentator to say that. And we backed that up on the No Spin News. But anyway, the thing is a worldwide phenomenon now. My son ran into my room and said, hey, you're number one on Apple. And I didn't know what that meant. I thought it meant something to do with Adam and Eve or something. I don't know. I said, what am I number one on? Apple Podcasts. You beat Hot Mess.
Another mark. Yes.
Yeah. So the podcast of Stewart and me was number one on Apple. And that's like every kid is running up to me. Oh, I saw you on Apple. And I'm going, what? What? I don't live in this world. You know what I mean?
Well, I remember the crackberries instead of blackberries. We go all the way back to that.
Yeah. It's just, but all I want to do is get my message out. And if it has to be Apple Podcasts, fine. So it really worked out well for us. And I give a lot of props to Stewart, who caught some flack from the far left because they wanted to cancel me. And, you know, Stewart, but he gained, too. A lot of you know, people who might not have known that he's doing a Daily Show once or twice a week, they know now. So it benefited both of us.
Well, we're taking a note. Next time you're on, number one on Apple, confronting the president's No Spin Assessments from Washington to Biden, September 10th comes out, and we can hardly wait to get you back on and fully dive into the book. Have you think it? You can't add anything now to it, right, Bill? It's already in motion.
It's in public. Yeah, it's at the printers now. But I don't really have to because I anticipated this would happen. And I say in the Biden essay, at the end, we write essays, Dugard, my co-author, and I, about both Trump and Biden. So it's not factual reporting. All the others are factual reporting. But these are essays. And so the essays hold up because I knew when I was writing this book, I said, you know, Biden's not going to make it. And I knew that because my mother had the same condition and I had to go through it. You don't get better from that, Don. There's no rehab for that.
Yeah,
and once
exactly.
I saw Biden sliding fast, I knew he wasn't going to be on the ballot. Simple as that.
Great stuff, Bill. Thank you. Thanks so much. And we'll talk very soon.
Anytime. Appreciate it, Don.
All right, Bill O'Reilly, Confronting the President. Great book coming out. You can pre-order. I had an advanced copy. Wonderful stuff. Dan, thanks for egging me on, too. I wasn't going to ask too much about Stewart. Didn't know that was number one on Apple, though, the podcast.
Yeah, really big, and a lot of talk, you know, response to it on the internet, discussion. So, yeah, it's cool that he was kind of called in and did that, and I'm just curious. I put up on the board, too. You didn't ask whether or not he helicoptered in to save the Daily Show.
I was like going to ask, the last time I had him at Speaker Series, by the way, Don Jr. coming up next, said the new iteration, Politics and Pints. Don't forget, July 30th, tickets at 1210WPHT.com. I asked him, Dan, somehow or another, we got on to Sean Connery. And he was very friendly before Connery passed. And he was with him with his son, who's an actor.
Wow.
And the son asked him what the secret of it was. And Connery got up. And O'Reilly gets up on like a chair and says, it's the dance. It's all about the dance. And he started doing the whole thing. That's how I said, wow, that's pretty good stuff. O'Reilly on a chair telling me about Sean Connery.
Jason Connery.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, the dance.
He's close with
Can
the
you
family.
Imagine Sean Connery? Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly's circles fascinate me. You just got to imagine, like, him and John Stewart out to dinner, and then, you know, Sean Connery walks up, and,
Yeah, I'd love to. Sean Connery, Bill, come on. That's what I said to him backstage. Can't we get Sean Connery on the show? Come on. He said he does very little. He's coming on with me first. But remember, the dance. Nancy Mace is a pretty provocative congresswoman, South Carolina. She's been on the show. We always get people. She's a rhino. It's a different kind of rhino, to put it mildly. She unloaded, so to speak, in the Secret Service hearing. We had to put a couple bleeps in here. But I think appropriate, given what's going on here. We'll see if you agree. Here's what she did.
Would you say the fact that we had to issue a subpoena to get you to show up today as being transparent, yes or no?
I have always been
yes or no. You didn't want to answer the question. We had to issue a subpoena to get you to show up today. That is not transparent, by the way. You stated earlier Secret Service is not political. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Would you say leaking your opening statement to Punchbowl News, Politico's playbook, and Washington Post several hours before you sent it to this committee as
confronting the president's no-spin assessments from Washington to Biden, September 10th, it's out. I have fully completed it, gone back and started to reread it. And there are various aspects that are just kind of ripped from the headlines today, without a doubt. It's one of his best. Let's go to the one and only Bill O'Reilly. Hey, Bill, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to be here in Philadelphia, Dom. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, before we get to Harris Biden resigning, I want to give full play to your book and remind people, I like what you wrote about Teddy Roosevelt. Now, I know your writing is to keep the reader moving. I could have gone for even a couple more pages on the shooting of Roosevelt. But I remember when you did the Reagan book, that's the one that caused the stir, because you talked about how Reagan was changed, I guess, physically and mentally. And when you look at President Trump, people observe that he's a bit more subdued, maybe. What's your take?
Well, the Reagan shooting was much more intense because of the operations that had to be performed to save his life. And the damage to his body was far more extensive than President Trump's wound to his ear. So that's number one. And Ronald Reagan survived it in style, but the aftercare was very difficult for him. And each person is different. Now, Trump, I think, psychologically was thrown by this unexpected catastrophe. But I can't really say what the cause and effect is at this point. I don't see a big difference in his demeanor. Some of the political strategies are a little bit different. But I think he made a mistake coming out after Biden quit the race and lambasting Biden. I would not have done that. So it's undefined right now to me how the shooting has affected Donald Trump in an overall capacity.
The danger here now, too, with the breaking news for Trump, just looking at this politically, Bill, and looking at the Secret Service testimony today, is that the giddiness and the media and the people jumping in with Kamala Harris, who's only a better option because Biden just can't come back from anything, in my view, will start to deflect and move us away from what really gave Trump a tremendous bump at the convention, the way the iconic photo and the way he was shot. Do you think the good feelings toward Trump linger, or is the media already underway to try to diminish that?
I think that the attempted assassination won't have much of an effect in November. People's memories are short. Donald Trump seems to be robust. So just like Teddy Roosevelt, who escaped because he had a copy of his speech in a glass case beneath his coat and the bully couldn't get through it fully, that didn't have much of an effect in the election, which Teddy lost because he was running as a third-party candidate. So I think the same thing will play out in November. It'll be a distant memory. Unless Donald Trump takes a different tact in the way he campaigns, which I don't see him doing.
Have you talked with him, Bill, since the shooting?
Yeah, I talked to him briefly about it, but it was more of a condolence thing.
Mm-hmm.
How's your family doing? It wasn't policy.
Yeah, and again, of all things, to be turning a bit to show the slide on illegal immigration is hard to believe. Let's talk about Kamala Harris. I know you probably have never interviewed her, given that would be not so good on her side. But we have someone who's been outvoted in primaries by Dean Phillips, the mystic woman and uncommitted, and yet stands right now potentially as the nominee and then president.
I don't think she'll win. Trump would have to give it to her, which is possible, but I don't think she'll win. The strategy of the Democrats is very simple. There's not going to be an open primary at the convention. There's not going to be any of that. Anyone who challenges Kamala Harris is through in the Democratic Party, and that message has already gone out. So she's not going to have anybody going up against her. The whole key to that was when George and Alex Soros, just minutes after Biden endorsed Kamala, came out and said, yeah, she's the greatest. Once that signal was sent by the progressive money men, everybody in the Democratic Party said, uh-oh, we better not say anything about Kamala not being competent, which she's not. I mean, she didn't have one piece of legislation passed in the Senate in 4 years. Zero. Cipher. Now, the strategy is to keep her away from everybody. It's the same strategy they employed with Joe Biden. Exactly the same. Not going to see Ms. Harris go up against any tough interviewers at all. She'll do some local stuff, friendly stuff. She'll be around. She'll campaign. She'll say the same thing she always says. Trump is a Nazi. She'll take his comments out of context. She'll say that they committed, the Biden administration is responsible for a trillion jobs. You know, that kind of propaganda.
Yeah.
This is going to be propaganda after propaganda after propaganda, constant, unrelenting, because she knows that the corporate media will not call her on it. So she can say whatever she wants to say, and she will. So you're not going to get a traditional campaign. Her problem is the September 10th debate with Trump. Now, Kamala Harris isn't going to fold like Biden did, but if Trump is disciplined, and that's a big if.
Yeah, exactly.
And just goes in on policy, I don't see how Kamala Harris gets out of that. But he's got to bring in facts. He's got to keep it short, because the moderators at ABC will be absolutely pro-Kamala Harris. There's no doubt about it. But Trump's got to do what he did with Biden and just look and say, hey, this is the reality. This is what happened. And then Kamala Harris is the deficit of lying about Biden's medical condition, which he did over and over and over. And, you know, our reporting this week on the No Spin News on BillO'Reilly.com is we're going to analyze Kamala Harris from every way you can imagine. So that the American people, those who really want the truth, will know it.
Exactly. Now, Bill, right in her opening statement, monumental statement, you're coming out finally, it's your shot. What do they go to? And all the developments that have happened, if you had told me Project 2025, they would constantly be leading with, that's in her opening statement, we're going to stop Trump in Project 2025. What do you think? What have you analyzed is driving that other than, you know, scary stuff and they don't have anything else?
Well, look, that's not going to work. Nobody knows what Project 2025 is. Fewer care about it. Trump has said, I don't endorse it. They can do that all day long. It's a waste of time. They'll get back to the Nazi stuff soon. That's what you're going to see. He's a totalitarian. He's going to, you know, the Constitution is going to go down a drain. That's where they'll go. 2025, they're just scoping around for something new. You know, how many times he said the MAGA movement, all of that. But if you look at Kamala Harris objectively, and it's my job to do that, and you step back from what her career is, which is mediocre at best, she is way further left than Joe Biden. I mean, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren could not be happier about this. She is in a zone that no American presidential candidate has ever been in. And I include Eugene Debs in that analysis, Dom.
Look that up in your book, Eugene Debs.
Right.
I don't know. Wow, Eugene Debs from O'Reilly. So, Bill,
you,
I wish you had that line with John Stewart. It was a great back and forth with him. Take us inside the most recent voyage on John Stewart's show.
Well, it came out of nowhere. Stewart didn't go to the Republican convention because they felt the people that run his show, Paramount, that's CBS, that there might be trouble there. And it was a wise decision. So the Stewart people apparently said, well, we got to get some attention. Who's the only person in the world that can do that? And that's me. Okay? Because Stewart and I have a long history. So they call me up, and I'm out in Montauk, and they go, you got to go to New York City, which is the last thing I wanted to do on Earth in the third week in July, is to go into Gotham to sit there with Jon Stewart, but I knew it would be worth it. So we went to the Daily Show. We did the 15 minutes. Everybody saw it. Millions and millions of people saw it, and I thought it went pretty well. And then we did an hour podcast, which is on BillO'Reilly.com. If you haven't seen it, it is well worth watching. It's a little bit more serious than the Daily Show and its issues. But you will notice in the podcast that Stewart is 100% behind Biden. It's Biden's great, Biden's great, Biden's great. And I'm going, what are you talking about? Okay, and that's a lot of the podcast back and forth. I haven't gotten a you were right, O'Reilly, missing from John Stewart, but I haven't got one from Chris Cuomo or anybody else that I told for months and months and months that Biden wasn't going to be on the ticket. I was the first national commentator to say that. And we backed that up on the No Spin News. But anyway, the thing is a worldwide phenomenon now. My son ran into my room and said, hey, you're number one on Apple. And I didn't know what that meant. I thought it meant something to do with Adam and Eve or something. I don't know. I said, what am I number one on? Apple Podcasts. You beat Hot Mess.
another mark. Yes.
Yeah. So the podcast of Stewart and me was number one on Apple. And that's like every kid is running up to me. Oh, I saw you on Apple. And I'm going, what? What? I don't live in this world. You know what I mean?
Well, I remember the crackberries instead of blackberries. We go all the way back to that.
Yeah. It's just, but all I want to do is get my message out. And if it has to be Apple Podcasts, fine. So it really worked out well for us. And I give a lot of props to Stewart, who caught some flack from the far left because they wanted to cancel me. And, you know, Stewart, but he gained too. A lot of you know, people who might not have known that he's doing a Daily Show once or twice a week, they know now. So it benefited both of us.
Well, we're taking a note. Next time you're on, number one on Apple, confronting the president's no-spin assessments from Washington to Biden, September 10th comes out, and we can hardly wait to get you back on and fully dive into the book. How do you think it? You can't add anything now to it, right, Bill? It's already in motion.
No, it's in public. Yeah, it's at the printers now. But I don't really have to because I anticipated this would happen. And I say in the Biden essay, at the end, we write essays, Dugard, my co-author, and I, about both Trump and Biden. So it's not factual reporting. All the others are factual reporting. But these are essays. And so the essays hold up. Because I knew when I was writing this book, I said, you know, Biden's not going to make it. And I knew that because my mother had the same condition, and I had to go through it. You don't get better from that, Don. There's no rehab for that.
Yeah,
and once I saw Biden sliding fast, I knew he wasn't going to be on the ballot. Simple as that.
Great stuff, Bill. Thank you. Thanks so much. And we'll talk very soon.
Anytime. Appreciate it, Dom.
All right. Bill O'Reilly, Confronting the Presidents. Great book coming out. You can pre-order. I had an advance copy. Wonderful stuff. Dan, thanks for egging me on, too. I wasn't going to ask too much about Stewart. Didn't know that was number one on Apple, though, the podcast.
Yeah, really big, and a lot of talk, you know, response to it on the internet, discussion. So, yeah, it's cool that he was kind of called in and did that, and I'm just curious. I put up on the board, too. You didn't ask whether or not he helicoptered in to save the Daily Show.
I was going to ask, the last time I had him at Speaker Series, by the way, Don Jr. coming up next, said the new iteration, Politics and Pints. Don't forget, July 30th, tickets at 1210WPHT.com. I asked him, Dan, somehow or another, we got on to Sean Connery, and he was very friendly before Connery passed, and he was with him with his son, who's an actor.
Wow.
And the son asked him what the secret of it was, and Connery got up, and O'Reilly gets up on like a chair and says, it's the dance. It's all about the dance. And he started doing the whole thing. That's how I said, wow, that's pretty good stuff. O'Reilly on a chair telling me about Sean Connery.
Jason Connery.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, the dance.
He's close with
Can
the
you
family.
Imagine Sean Connery? Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly's circles fascinate me. You just got to imagine, like, him and John Stewart after dinner, and then, you know, Sean Connery walks up, and,
Yeah, I'd love that. Sean Connery, Bill, come on. That's what I said to him backstage. Can't we get Sean Connery on the show? Come on. He said he does very little. He's coming on with me first. But remember, the dance. Nancy Mace is a pretty provocative congresswoman, South Carolina. She's been on the show. We always get people. She's a rhino. It's a different kind of rhino, to put it mildly. She unloaded, so to speak, in the Secret Service hearing. We had to put a couple bleeps in here. But I think appropriate given what's going on here. We'll see if you agree. Here's what she did.
Would you say the fact that we had to issue a subpoena to get you to show up today as being transparent, yes or no?
I have always been
yes or no. You didn't want to answer the question. We had to issue a subpoena to get you to show up today. That is not transparent, by the way. You stated earlier Secret Service is not political. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Would you say leaking your opening statement to Punchbowl News, Politico's playbook, and Washington Post several hours before you sent it to this committee as being political? Yes or no?
I have no idea how my statement got out.
Well, that's bullshit. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask unanimous consent to enter into the record articles by Punchbowl News, Political Playbook, Washington Post, all done at 5:24 a.m., 6:12 a.m., 6:34 a.m., a solid 3 to 4 hours before this committee got your statement.
Without objection, so ordered.
Okay. Is the Secret Service fully cooperating with our committee?
Yes.
Okay, you say you're fully cooperating with this committee. On July 15th, this committee sent you a list of demands of information that we wanted. Has the Secret Service provided this committee a complete list of all law enforcement personnel that were there that day? Have you done that? Have you provided a list to the Oversight Committee? Yes or no?
I'll have to get back to you on that.
That is a no. Have you provided all audio and video recordings in your possession to this committee, as we asked on July 15th? Yes or no?
I would have to get back to you.
That is a no. You're full of shit today. You're just being completely dishonest. Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Chairman, I want to
Mr. Chair, I'm going
to we have to maintain decorum in this committee, no matter how upset we get.
Can you provide any memos to this committee that we've asked you?
Dan, who is that? Is that that...
I don't know.
That's the fried chicken guy from Memphis guy, it sounds like to me, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, asked you on July 15th. Have you provided all memorandums within the Secret Service?
I would have to get back to you on
that. Is a no. You are being dishonest or lying. Like, I you're being dishonest here with this committee. These are important questions that the American people want answers to, and you're just dodging and talking around it in generalities. And we had to subpoena you to be here, and you won't even answer the questions. We have
okay,
asked you-
we got it. We'll break that down. But next is Bucks County officially now red. Is that so? Is it? Act like a lady, too. Nancy Mace.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.